The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes, everyone, let's just bow our heads to start off with a prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we ask your blessings. We look at the gospel and the readings, Lent, and temptation. We just pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit, that our minds will seek the truth, and our wills will choose what is good. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What I'd like to talk about today, from these readings here, a little bit about temptation, what that is, and then the devil's role in that, how the heart in them gives a clear explanation here about the gospel while our Lord's being tempted, and some things that we can do in this battle. Now, temptation is a thought or a persuasion that comes to us to do something against the will of God. Now, it comes from three sources. It may come from the devil himself, the flesh, or the world. When I say flesh, you know, our fallen human nature. There's different tendencies that we have. You know, I mention it frequently, the pride, covetous, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, sloth. So we have the temptations from the devil directly, from the flesh, our fallen human nature, or from the world, the different allurements and things of the world, having power or popularity or things like that. Now the Catholic Church teaches that a temptation, that overcoming temptation is the normal way for the soul to strengthen in grace and virtue. In other words, God allows these temptations so we could grow spiritually stronger, that we could show our love for him, and also grow in humility. Because we realize in this battle, overcoming sin, that we can't do it on our own resources. We need the sacraments. We need the sacrament of confession. We need the Eucharist. We need prayer. We need God's divine help. Otherwise, we'll fall flat on our face. Now, just to make this clear at the beginning, sometimes we can look at different extremes. St. Thomas Aquinas says, the devil is not the cause of every sin, for all sins are not committed at the devil's instigation, but some are due to the free will and the corruption of the flesh. So remember, the devil, flesh, and the world where temptations could come from. So St. Thomas just points that out. Not everything, well, the devil made me do it. No, you have your own free will, and there's different things that may not have come directly from the devil. Now, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 12, it talks about the devil, how he went off to make war on those who keep the commandments of God and bear testimony to Jesus. For those who are trying to live the gospel, those who are striving the commandment, the devil seeks to make war. Now, the other ones who aren't following the commandments, aren't following Jesus, the devil already has them captive. He has them in a cage. I have them caught. I don't have to worry about them. I'm going out to all those who are on that highway to heaven. Now, we see this it comes up quite a bit actually in the scripture. I'll give you a couple examples. So, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. St. Peter says, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And St. Peter, in his own words, he would say, look, I know. The devil beat me up. I told Jesus I'll never betray you. And boy, in just a very, very short time, I was betraying him, the Son of Man. But thanks be to God that the Lord prayed for me. Otherwise, I'd have entered into despair and discouragement and not come back to his mercy. So he said, be sober, be watchful, be humble. That watch means praying and looking out, not to think, well, I'm confirmed in grace and heaven is a sure thing. No, no. Be watchful and sober, he says. Then you have in the book of Job, and this came up in the office of readings for us priests and the deacons. This came up right at the beginning of Lent, this reading from Job. And you have this dialogue where it says, the Lord said to Satan, where have you come? From going to and fro on the earth, from walking up and down it. That image to the devil going around seeking souls to devour, seeking to bring souls down into eternal misery. Then you have here the first reading, the book of Genesis. So you have the devil there. There's a dialogue. And you never enter into a dialogue with the devil, evil spirits, you'll fall. And so Adam's looking there, Eve, and the devil says, well, what about this? Did God really say that? Really? You're going to die and that's going to happen? Isn't that pretty beautiful? And so she falls, Adam falls. And then now in the gospel, so our Lord takes on the human condition. And this is important to remember. Temptations, again, from the devil, the flesh, and the world. Our Lord could not be tempted in the flesh in that area. He could not be tempted from within, but only from outside. So So Father Hardin says, when we speak of Christ being tempted, we must be very clear. Unlike us, Christ could not be tempted from within. Unlike us, he did not have a fallen human nature. Christ had no sinful urges, either in his body or in his will. He could be tempted only from the outside of himself, either by the world or by the devil. When therefore we say that Christ was tempted by the devil, we mean that the evil spirit actually thought he could seduce the Savior and lead him into sin. So the audacity of the devil, who is a liar, thinking that he could attempt truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and life. And so that comes without. But our Lord gives us an example here that the mortifications that he practiced, these 40 days and 40 nights, he was showing us that of the battle against the devil, that we have to practice mortification. Now, St. Paul says in Romans today that all of us have been tainted by sin, huh? All of us at times, thoughts, words, and deeds, we've had it contrary to the will of God. Well, praise be to God. The scriptures loaded with the number of saints, ones who were big sinners who converted. St. Peter betrayed the Lord, he converts. You have St. Dismas who died on the cross, he converts. Mary Magdalene, the prodigal son. So it's great hope for all of us that we give our lives back to Christ in prayer, that we too become saints and overcome all these sins. Now here's a basic thing I'm going to give every once in a while. I share this here, but I do this when I teach, when I taught in high school. I had the 7th, 8th grade, now the 5th, 6th grade of the school. I write this on the board. Father Hardin called it the ironclad law of destiny, something, a tool that can help us with temptations overcoming. It goes like this. Watch your senses. They tend to become your thoughts. Thoughts tend to become words. Words become actions. Actions become habits. Habits become character. And your character determines your destiny, either heaven or hell. So at school, when I write this on the board, I start at one end, the senses. So I show the boys, it goes, how you go, what comes into your senses, your hearing, sight, smell, taste, and touch, that's going to affect your thoughts. And your thoughts, your words, and words, action, actions, habits, habit, character, destiny. So it's so important to guard that. What you're reading, what you're listening to on the radio, the friends, the people you hang out with, what you're seeing on TV. If you're inundating your senses with junk and garbage and temptations and things like that, what's going to happen? Your thoughts are going to be warped. They'll come out in your words. Have you ever met, this is really a sad thing, but you maybe meet a young person and the language that comes out of their mouth, all their profanity, well, where's that coming from? Maybe the dad has a horrible mouth like that, and so the children just absorb that right away. I remember one young parent, said, father was horrified. My husband got mad about something, some word came out of his mouth. The next day, the son was saying the exact same words. So we have to guard our senses, right? Now, in the scripture, I was looking for different examples of this, where standing firm. So you have St. Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, says, be watchful and stand firm in your faith. Be courageous and be strong. Let all these do be done in love. So stand watchful. Okay, what is coming into my senses? What am I allowing? Now, obviously, we don't live in a bubble. There's going to be different things that come against us. You're driving the street, billboards, maybe whatever it may be, or someone at the workplace blows up at you. So there's different things you can't control, but there are certain things that we do have the willpower to guard our senses. And then St. Peter, 1 Peter 5:9, resist them, firm in your faith. Put up that wall there so your senses. In James chapter 4, verse 7, resist the devil. Now, by saying no in small things, when temptations come, we will have strength to say no to the temptations. So I wrote this down. Say no to yourself. A lot of people are afraid of the word discipline. So again, if I'm up at the school, I write the word discipline. You know, if I take out the N and E, that's disciple. To be a disciple of Christ requires discipline. And if you could practice discipline and saying no on little things, you become a stronger person. And there was a book given to me years ago. I'm not real familiar with the author, but it's Abraham Haslam. He said, self-respect is the fruit of discipline. The sense of dignity grows with the ability to say no to oneself. When we say no to temptation, the power of that temptation passes into our willpower. Every time we say no to temptation, it strengthens our will. But the sense of dignity grows with the ability to say no. It could be very small things. On Ash Wednesday, the readings, our Lord said, when you pray, when you fast, when you give alms. So when you pray, we're saying no to certain other things. No, this time's for God. When we fast, we're saying no to certain foods, or no to TV, or no to radio, or no to something else. We're practicing discipline. It may be something very small. Maybe you're getting into the car with a bunch of friends, you prefer to sit in the front seat, and you just sit in the back seat. So you're saying no in a little way, you're disciplining yourself. Where you sit down, just maybe, well, today I won't have dessert. Some small little unnoticed things where you're saying no, so you're practicing the self-discipline. And the weekday mass goers have heard this before, but I say do at least 5 self-disciplines or 5 no's throughout the day. Something that you give to Christ. Why 5? Because Christ showed his love for us by his 5 major wounds, in his hands, in his feet, in his side. So you can start off with a visual aid. Okay, Lord, when you sit down for breakfast, right, I'm only going to have 1 cup of coffee instead of 2. Everyone's got has a different thing. All right, Lord, I offer that up, that no, for your wound in your right hand. And then you come at workplace, someone says something nasty to you, and you want to right away, well, I'll give it back to them. You mortify yourself, no, Lord, I give that for the wound in your left hand. Or something throughout the day, somebody always wrong, is antagonistic, and you get like, boy, this person. So you don't purposely avoid them. When they come into presence, you offer that up right away, Lord, for the wound in your side. So you get the idea. Practicing self-discipline in small things. So now when the devil, he's prowling about, when he comes, you'll be much more likely to stand firm. To stand firm in grace, to stand firm in truth, because you've been exercising your will. That's why it's so important, like for parents, to discipline your children. Because when they get older, you think when they're smaller, they're wild, stuff like that. But once they get keys and wheels under their feet, whoa, they can be out anywhere. So it's so important for all of us to practice discipline. And during Lent, the church, you know, the purple is real vivid before us. It's a time of penance, mortification. Let me give you this from St. Faustina's diary, tying it in with our Divine Mercy Challenge. These are the words of our Lord. Speaking of Faustina, I'll give a point from this. Our Lord says, I desire to unite myself with human souls. What prevents that union with Christ? Sin, when we give in to temptation. My great delight is to unite myself with souls, our Lord says. And know this, my daughter, talking to St. Faustina, that when I come to a human heart in Holy Communion, my hands are full of all kinds of graces which I want to give to the soul. It's like this rich man that comes. He's there in our heart. He's there in our soul. Lord, help me to be more patient with my co-workers. Lord, help me to say no to sin. Help me say no to little things. So ask our Lord. Lord, help me. I got this unforgiveness in my heart, this ill feeling towards this person. I could pray for him. I want to get rid of that yucky feeling. So our Lord says, my hands are full of graces. But then our Lord says this, but souls do not even pay attention to me. They leave me to myself and busy themselves with other things. When we receive communion, it's not a time where we look around and say, ooh, look how that person's dressed. Ooh, boy, I can't believe. It's a time where we're united with Christ. We should close our eyes. Obviously, if little kids, you're going to try to work that out there. But you close your eyes as best you can. Try to focus on Christ. He's there. He wants you to speak to him. And in turn, he wants you to be able to hear his voice. So our Lord goes on. Oh, how sad I am that souls do not recognize love. They treat me as a dead object. Now, this mortification of the will, saying no to different things, it's not just, I got to strengthen my will, yes, but the motivation is love, right? For love of Jesus. So the next paragraph in St. Faustina's diary, 1386, she says, she's talking to the Lord, so she's coming out of chapel. Oh, my Jesus, farewell. I must go already to take up my task, but I will prove my love for you with sacrifice, neither neglecting nor letting any chance for practicing it suffice. So I will prove my love with sacrifice. So each day, look for 5 little areas where you could say no, 5 little areas where you could prove your love for Jesus. And when you receive him here in communion today, ask him that you may be strong. So this could be your best and holiest month ever. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.